Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'm going to talk about going to war tonight. Kind of, isn't God good? I mean, you know, he just knows what's going to be happening. Now, we could have never planned to do chapter 20 now. I mean, it just worked out that way. We had a break here and a break there so that God would line us up so we could talk about going to war. And if this kind of topic bothers you, oh well. I'm just teasing. You smile, get it over with. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I like it here. You know, because of the condition of the hearts of mankind, and that includes yours and mine. No, I know. Some of us are truly born again. I know that you've asked Jesus in your heart, and you're born again. Those of you that are born again, you probably realize more than you ever have before that the heart is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? We don't know our own hearts. And we keep getting ourselves into jams because of it. Well, because of the condition of the heart of mankind, because of sin, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful. Therefore, there are times when war is inevitable. It's gonna happen. Wars will be. Jesus said to us, in that Olivet discourse, there will be wars and rumors of wars. But the end is not yet. Now the wars will get bigger, uglier, and they will come more often. And we sort of know that because we've read through God's Word. It's what He says. Now we're going to be given some instruction on how to go to war. And who ought to go and who ought to not. I'm just seeing if you're listening. When you go, verse 1 of chapter 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots, and you see people more than you. In other words, their army outnumbers yours. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with you, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. If there's anything you want, we'll see it again in a moment or two. If there's anything you and I want, is when we realize war is inevitable. When we realize it's going to happen, we don't want to go into it without God. If it's got to be, you want God to be a part of it. And that's what, now Moses, let me just remind you what this is all about, Deuteronomy. Moses is going to die in another few days. And he can't enter into the promised land, but the children of Israel will go. And Joshua will lead them. And as they're going to go across, Moses says, here's the way you gotta be. Here's the way you gotta think. Here's what you're headed for. Here are the promises. Here's what you need to set up when you get in there. The last time we got together, I think we talked about the cities of refuge. Remember that? How you can see Jesus Christ is our refuge. We run and we hide in Jesus. Under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord God, He is my strength. In Him will I trust. Psalm 191, 1 and 2, right? Sometimes war is inevitable. There are times when nations need to defend themselves against aggression, against aggressors. There are times when it's just gonna be. You've seen it in the past. I figure you're about to see it again. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. King Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived. He talks about these kinds of things. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 if you want to turn there or mark it down in your Bible and check it later, however you want to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You may remember these words because they were taken basically out of this chapter when the 1960s song Turn, 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 when that was done. It says this, To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And finally, a time of war and a time of peace. War is inevitable, and there's a time for it. And because it's inevitable and there's a time for it, we need to know how to deal with it. We're Christians. I've heard people say that Jesus was a pacifist. I don't see that in Scripture. When he returns, you'll understand that that is not the case. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, take a read through it. Jesus is coming back as the judge. His first time here. John said about him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He came to be our Passover Lamb. But and he was and he is. But see, you have to understand. He's coming back and you will not see the Passover Lamb. You will see the King of Kings and the Judge of all. And Jesus will return. And there won't be pacifist anything about him when he shows up. And yeah, there is a time. And so Moses is going to explain to the people now. He says, when you go out to battle, because it's going to happen, it's got to. I mean, when you go into this land that God's given you, others might not like you in there and may come against you. They're aggressors. You'll defend the land. I mean, things like that do happen. You recall years ago in this land when the aggressors bombed Pearl Harbor and America entered into a war reluctantly that they really didn't want to enter into. And he says, you're going to see horses, chariots, and people more than you. You're going to be outnumbered at times, he says. Do not be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee. God is with you. Again, I think the one thing that America needs to do, that each one of us needs to do as an individual and collectively as a country, is to be sure that we are with him. That we are listening to him and doing the things that God says to do and not messing with all this false religion and trying to bring all the religions together, but to get back to the truth of the gospel, to get back to speak out the words that Muslims are a violent people. The Quran is not a book of peace, and somebody say it out loud and then don't apologize for it. It's the truth. If you haven't understood that yet, mark my words, you will see it coming up over and over again. This is not over. We are not out of the woods. This is not, and I think that this comes up right now at a time. And we're supposed to trust in God, not be afraid, because the Lord your God is with you. And look what he's done already. Look at this. He brought you out of Egypt. He saved your life. Those of you that say, Jesus lives in my heart, he saved your life. Now that was a big challenge for him. Take a look around. He's got to be worn out. I'm just teasing. God saved my life. I'm born again because Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried and on the third day rose again from the dead. And so I have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm the best husband around. Not because I am good at yard work. Not because I can keep my car running with just a screwdriver. But because Jesus Christ is Lord. And He shed His blood for the sins of the world. He's alive. And war is inevitable. Until the Prince of Peace returns, there will be no peace. And when they preach peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them. And there will be what? No place to hide. So every one of you thinking about going into Montana and digging a hole, read through that scripture again. Read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians slowly. Read through it. You know, neighborhoods are getting tough. Our neighbor come over the other day and wanted to borrow a couple bullets. That's a pretty rough neighborhood. You got, whoa. It's not going to help. I'm just joking. Trying to lighten you guys up some here. It shall be, verse 2, when you come near unto the battle, the priest shall approach and speak to the people. You know, we're told not to be afraid. Why? Because we're so militarily prepared? No. Because our technology can wipe out anything? No. Because we are prepared for any sort of terrorism? No. Why? Because the Lord thy God is with you. Now you got to get on the right team. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, that's the first thing that needs to happen. This country needs to do that. And I'm talking about the God who sits on the throne, who is almighty and in complete control, who mentioned from heaven. God said, I am the Lord God. You can find this in scripture. And I'm sitting out here in eternity and I'm looking around and I'm telling you, there are no other gods. He's saying that from a good vantage point. He sees all things and he says, I'm telling you, I'm the only one. There are no other gods. You got to believe him. He knows. Don't wait until you can get out there to see. It's too late. And the Hubble is not going to be able to see it for you. You've got to take God at His word. He's the one who inhabits eternity, He says. And from that vantage point, He says, I see no other gods. I am the Lord your God. I am the only one. No false gods before me. There are no others. God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Do you know something? And I don't mean to drag this out, but have you ever thought of the fact that we have the only God that's ever died? Do you know? Of all the so-called real gods, you know, the Force never died. Perfect nothingness, nirvana. Do you ever think about that? We have the only God that was wounded, pierced, beat up. And that's why people think we're weird. They laugh at us. Your God is so strong. He got killed. What kind of God do you serve? Well, He got beat up. He got killed. He got spit at. He got laughed at because He was standing in my shoes. And if there's anyone who deserves that and more, it's me. He was standing in your shoes. You see, God loves you so much that He was willing to do that for you. Willing to take your place so that you could freely have life. No questions asked. What does Jesus say? You come to me. I don't care where you're coming from. Oh man, I'm filthy. I don't care where you're coming, but I care where you're going. You come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, He says. And notice what I read here, before we go on and talk about who doesn't have to go fight, what I read here is the outcome of the battle has nothing to do with military might or military strategy. Notice that? It's the Lord your God is with you. That's why you're not afraid. You may be outnumbered. So that tells me one thing that the Bible has said all throughout the scripture, from beginning to end. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. The Bible tells us this, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is His. We just go out and fight it. Oh, we'll sweat. We'll get dirty. But it's His battle. It's His name. It's His kingdom. It's His idea. He's coming back to take over His stuff. Stay close to the Lord. And I think that means as individuals, and I also think it means to the nation, the United States of America. Stay close to the Lord and you will be protected. Step out from under the shadow of the Almighty and you will fall and be destroyed. And like Jesus says, great is the fall of that house. Well, it shall be when, verse 2, when you shall come near to the battle. Now, when you get out there and you see the enemy, you're right out there ready to go. The priest shall approach and speak to the people. We've got all these men here. They're ready to go into battle. And this is what the priest will say. You shall say to them, hear, O Israel, verse 3. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let your hearts faint, fear not, and do not shake or tremble. Neither be terrified because of your enemy, because of them. For the Lord your God is He that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, is that good news or what? Yes, do this. That is, yes. If you're going into war and you're going to head out there tomorrow morning, you're going to want to know some good news. Don't you think? Because he says, this is what you say. Listen, O Israel, O people of the Lord, you are approaching this day unto the battle against your enemies. Do not let your hearts faint. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble or shake. Don't be terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. God is going with you. All you really need to do is stick close to Him. No matter how hard the battle gets, just stick close to Jesus. That's good news. And I'm going to tell you something. Write this down if you like, or just remember it in your head. If God doesn't go into the battle with you, don't go. Moses said it best when God said, these people are making me mad. I don't want to hang around with them. They won't quit complaining. They are so stubborn. I'm not going with them. I'll send an angel along and you guys head on in the promised land, but I'm not going. Do you think God meant that? It was a test for Moses, by the way. God already knew what he was going to do. He already knew he was going, but he says, Moses, these people, I'm fed up. That's it. It's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And Moses was smart. Oh my goodness, what a wise man. He said, Lord, you got to go with us. We're nothing without you. I mean, you're it. We travel in your name. Everybody's going to know you're not with us. We're going to look like fools. It's even going to make you look bad. You got to go with us. If you don't go with us, we don't want to go. We'll just stay here and die. If you don't go with us, we're not moving from this spot. And Moses passed the test. God says, right on, Moses. Okay, let's go. If God doesn't go into the battle with you, don't go. Stay home and watch TV. Now we're going to look at four reasons that you are given that are legitimate that you don't have to go fight if you don't want to. Four. Some call them excuses, but I think they're legitimate reasons. Now, in verse 5, we read this. The officers, those in charge, they shall speak to the people, those are the men that will be going into battle, saying this, what man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go, return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. All right, before we go into battle, I want you to know, you're going in the power of the Lord. Lord's going with you. Now, before we go, I want everybody here that's building a house, who hasn't been able to dedicate his house. You know, it's under construction. You were really hoping you could put the roofing on this week. Now this stupid war came up. Man, I hate that when you got to stop what you're doing, go to war. I mean, what if it snows? What if things are going to be ruined? And so what I'm telling you, officer says to you, all right, you're building the house and you really haven't finished it. You really think you need to dedicate that thing? Go home. There's another one. Let's go on. And verse 6, what man is he that has planted a vineyard? He's not yet eaten of the vineyard. Let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and somebody else gets to eat the fruit of the vineyard. Some of you guys, I know that you've been working hard because that's how most of them made a living. They were farmers or they were ranchers or whatever they were. And vineyards, they would grow the vineyards and, or they would grow vineyards of grapes and then they would sell them and that was their business. And of course you got your business going and war sort of really wrecks that up. You've seen that just in the last few weeks. I mean, it hurts an economy and it shocks people. And so he says, you know, if you guys have planted a vineyard and you haven't, and the grapes weren't quite ready yet, and you're thinking they're going to be coming up soon. Well, you know what? We want you to eat of the stuff you've been growing. So go on home. Go ahead and go home so that you can eat grapes and, you know, make sure that business goes. Verse 7 says, oh boy, and what man is there that has been engaged to a wife? Betrothed means engaged. And has not taken her. The wedding was coming up in a couple of weeks, and now you got this war stopping everything up. I hate that, don't you? It says, let that man go home, return to his house, lest he die in battle, and somebody else marries her. Don't want that. So, you know, any of you guys building houses? I want you to know, go ahead and go home. Finish those houses. Any of you growing vineyards and you haven't been able, you're about ready to get some of the fruit, but not quite yet. Why don't you guys just, you know, head on out and go back and eat some from the vineyard. Get that business going. Let's keep it going. Any of you guys engaged? You know, your wedding's coming up pretty soon. You think, oh my goodness, I didn't expect this war. I don't know how long this war is going to last. Well, you guys go on home. Go ahead and marry that girl, because if you don't, you die. Someone else will marry her. That would really just kind of wreck up all your parents' plans. There's one more. Verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and he'll say this. And if none of the other three got you, maybe this one would. They'll say, what man is there that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him go, return to his house, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his. Now, isn't that interesting? Going to go into battle. When you're ready to go into battle, just know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, before we go in, there's some of you that don't have to go if you don't want to. Now, you have to think hard about this. Don't miss the point. I read them quickly on purpose. So we go back and look at them. Because every one of them, there's a key ingredient in there that you'll notice. See, if you're building a house and you haven't dedicated it yet, well, you haven't moved into the house yet. It's under construction. You know, all of you know, construction can be a hassle. It never goes right. They were supposed to put the roof on top and somehow it ended on the bottom because you weren't there. And you're thinking, who would do that? But they did it anyway. And you're thinking, if I don't stay right on top of these people, we wanted this thing painted green and they're going to paint it pink. Sure, if I'm not there. Right? What's going on? You see, your heart would be there where your new house was. Wouldn't it? I mean, because that's kind of basically what's on your mind. You got your heart. See, you got your heart is set and your affections are set on that construction that you're doing. Put so much time and so much money and so much effort into that home that you really want to live in it for a while. I mean, that's why you spent all that energy and time and effort. And see, your heart and your affections are going to really, even though you don't mean it to be, they're going to be back there. Now, if you're standing next to a guy, and you're gonna, and I've seen this happen, and you're gonna go into a violent situation, you see, you want this guy paying attention. There were times in Las Vegas when we would wear regular clothes, and we would go to the big concerts. At the big stadiums, Caesar's Palace had kind of a big thing. And on some of the nights that we would do that, they would have a concert going on, so they would bring us down in plain clothes. And we would go into the men's bathroom and take turns getting mugged. And at first I thought, you're kidding, right? This is a joke. No, this is what we're going to do tonight. And my partner said, all right, we train you how to do this. Okay, what do I got to do? You just go in the bathroom and stand in front of the mirror. And there's a big concert going on, Beach Boys or whatever. And so you got all these people in the stands, and of course people coming in and out of the restrooms. And so my job as a police officer was to go in and get robbed. And that's kind of a nervous feeling. And I can't explain it to you, but you feel a little awkward. Because you're thinking, I'm just washing my hands, and I'm fixing my hair, and I'm just standing around. Just waiting for something to happen. And your partner would go in a stall. That'd be his job. And he would hide. He'd pick his feet up. So if somebody looked under the stall, there'd be nobody there. And you always hoped. I remember this as I'm standing there and some people would come in. And sure enough, somebody would say, hey, give me your wallet. You're thinking, I hope, oh, what's his name, didn't find a magazine to read. or maybe he's reading what's written all over the wall. You always hope that somebody's paying attention. I beg your pardon? Give me your wallet. You want my wallet? Can you imagine going into a battle with somebody there that you are basically dependent on? I'm not saying the Lord's not going to do it, but there's this guy who really is concerned about, if it rains, man, the stuff we got in that house is going to be wrecked. I hope this battle goes quick because I got to get home, get the, it'd be best if he just goes on home. And it's not a sin. God still loves him just as much. Notice? I mean, you've got permission, full permission, go on home. How about planting a vineyard? Same thing. The context and the idea is the same every verse you're going to see. See, his heart is in that business. He's worked hard, and that's going to keep his family going. That's what he's been working on. And the truth is, his heart and his affections may be back there on that vineyard. Guy that's engaged, they've been seeing one another for years and they're finally engaged and it's going to be happening soon. And what is he thinking going into battle? I don't want to go. If I go in there and I die, I mean, all those plans and, man, we already bought the flowers. And I don't know, and where's his heart? Where's his affection? Where's mine going to be? It's going to be back there somewhere. Isn't it? What kind of army are you going to have? You're going to be shocked in a verse or two, I think. Because I don't think Christians think this way. But let's do the next verse. And finally, if none of those other covered you, I saw this quite a bit when I was a kid. The fearful and the faint-hearted. I saw a lot of kids when I was a kid. And I mean, I didn't want to be drafted, so I joined. I thought, if you got to go, pick your job. Right? I mean, that made sense to me. They lied. I didn't get the job. But I didn't know. I was young, and I thought that when he said you could have this, that you could have it. Well, he was lying. Maybe he thought so, too. They lied to him. I don't know. He was a nice person. But I remember guys burning their draft cards. And I remember guys running to Canada. So they wouldn't have to fight. And I think, in the Bible it says that's all right. Just admit you're a coward and get it over with. Isn't that what the Bible just said? Look, if you're afraid and faint-hearted, you don't have to go. If America would learn that, I think we'd have done better in the long run. You see, you don't have to go. You're afraid. You're afraid for your own physical self. You're afraid you might get physically hurt. Or something would happen to you that your family would lose you, and then you'd be gone, and you're concerned. Well, I'm afraid for myself, but if I get whatever happens to me, then my family may not be taken care of. Well, if that's the case, he says you're faint-hearted, you're afraid. Go home, go on back there. God still loves you. You're still just as saved as you were the moment that you turned around and went. But at least be honest and handle it that way. You see, because verse 8 says this, let that person that's fearful, faint-hearted go home. Why? Lest his brethren's heart faint as well. You see, fear is contagious. It is. You get into a situation and you see one or two people panic, and what happens? You've got panic on your hands and thousands of people run. You've seen it happen, and people get hurt in those kinds of situations because everybody's trying to get out the door at the same time, aren't they? And they're all trying to get in this little bitty door, and you got 1,000 people trying to get there, and you get some real damage done to people. Fear is contagious. And so God knows that. He knows how we're built, you know, and so what's the point? Well, I think the point is you got to want to fight. Isn't that shocking for the pastor to say? I think the point is you got to want to go into this battle. You've got to want to fight. You are going to need a heart if you're going to go into the battle that says, we're going to go in, and by the power of God, we're going to win. That may sound weird to you, but that's exactly what the Bible's telling us. Let me read to you verse 9. It shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking to the people, they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. See there? You got to want to fight. If you really don't have a heart for it, you're still loved by the Lord. But it's best to head on back and get out of the way, because the battle is inevitable. You see the same thing take place with Gideon and his troops. And God takes them down to 300 men from 32,000. And God defeats the enemy with 300 men. But those are 300 men who said, I want to get in there. Let's do it. Let's go into this battle. All the rest went home. God still loved them. They were still children of God. He still loved them. But understand something. When you go into a battle, you got to trust Him. And you need to be ready in your mind and in your spirit. And you need to be ready physically and emotionally as well for this fight that's coming. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. To fight the battle with the Lord. To fight the battle, ready for this word? Enthusiastically. You say, is that scriptural? I am convinced it is from beginning to end. But I'll just read you two verses that you can't deny. 1 Timothy 6:12. This is written to a young pastor. Paul says this, fight the good fight of faith. Fight it. Go look up the original language and see. That's an active participation. Get in there and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. Get in there, Timothy. Go for it. You got to have a heart to get in this fight. The battle belongs to the Lord, but He's going to use you and me. And here's an interesting statement from Paul near the end of his life. He's going to die a little while after he makes this statement. He says it in 2 Timothy 4:6. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Then what does he say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul had a heart enthusiastic for the battle. Moses says, if you go into the battle, you've got to go into the battle to win it. The battle belongs to the Lord, but you've got to want to be in it. You've got to jump in the deep end and get all wet. As we go along, you'll see, now he's going to show us how to deal with the cities that you come in contact with. When you come near a city to fight against it, because they're going to enter in the promised land, there are going to be some cities that are going to fight. You come to a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. I like that. Seek peace first. Now, it's going to sound kind of odd, but, you know, God's given us this city, and we'd really like to take this without any trouble. And so you seek peace, you offer peace first. It shall be, if they make thee an answer of peace, open to them, or open unto them, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee. They shall serve you. In other words, there'll be no fight. You'll work out some agreements together, and you'll continue on. Isn't that interesting? Seek peace first. But if war must be, fight the war to win. That's what you've just read. These are the instructions of the children of Israel going into the promised land. God hasn't changed. It's just that you and I understand that our war is a spiritual war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are they? And we dive into the fight wholeheartedly. Seek peace first, but if war must be, fight the war to win. It was General Douglas MacArthur. This is a statement he made one time. I do not believe in fighting a war which I do not intend to win. That makes sense, doesn't it? Why fight a war if you have no intentions of winning the war? We did that once, didn't we? And look what it did. Look what it cost. And I'm going to quote him again. That just reminds me of that. General MacArthur also made this observation. Kind of interesting. He warned us, America, not to fight a land war in Asia. That was General MacArthur who said that. But if we do fight a war there, fight the war to win it. I think that you're going to see a war over there. A land war over in Asia. Interesting that he said that so many years ago. Seek peace first. But if there's got to be a battle, you've got to take the battle to them, is what he says. And it shall be, verse 11, they shall make thee an answer of peace and open unto thee. Then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with you, but will make war against you, then you shall besiege it. In other words, if there's going to be a battle, then take the battle to them and do it. And when the Lord thy God has delivered it into your hands, you shall smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. He's explaining how to handle the situation. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and you shall eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God has given you. He's showing them how to handle it when the battle has been won. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. In other words, out and away from your land. But of the cities of these people inside the land that God has given you, he's talking about, which the Lord thy God does give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes. But you shall utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded thee. Did they do that, everybody? No, they didn't, did they? And what did it cost? They're still fighting them today, aren't they? And it's still an absolute mess. They did not obey. God gives the directions to his armies. They just didn't happen to listen. Verse 18 tells you why you would destroy them and get them out of your land. And America's living proof that you should have. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. If you let them in your land, they'll bring in the false religions with them. The false worship, they'll start to intermingle. It'll take you away from the Lord your God. The blessing will be removed. And what'll happen to that land? It'll be destroyed. Are we seeing anything like that going on around us today? When we have mosques in Spokane, and you see the first church of Satan growing at an unprecedented rate in the United States because of all the tragedy the Satanists are recruiting. And you're thinking, I don't think America got it. I mean, there was a message sent out, but I'm not quite sure America grabbed hold of it. I don't think they understand what the real problem is. And God says, see, they're going to teach you to do after their abominations. You'll say, not me, we're pretty smart. No, it's crept into the church today. The New Age movement rolled in, locked in, and you can listen to the church people. Many New Age practices being done in the church. And so now Christians are centering. They're doing nothing different, but it's a better name. You don't call it guided imagery. You just call it using your imagination, and you take the children on guided imagery tours where they can meet their, oh, we don't say ascended masters. We don't say spirit guides. We say they can meet their inner self, their wise one on their, in their inner self. And we just mingle it and change the language. And God says, we don't want that. They will teach you to disobey the Lord your God. And he says, you can't keep that in your country. You can't keep that within your borders. You've got to get that out or you'll be destroyed. They'll hurt you. Now, when you shall besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for you may eat of them, and you shall not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which you know that they be not trees for meat or for food, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. And you shall build bulwarks against the city that makes war with you until it be subdued. Now, the last two verses before we share communion, interesting verses. He says, you need to show respect for God's creation. Oh yeah, you've got the power and you've got the technology and you've besieged the city. You've got them surrounded. Yeah, you could, I guess, destroy all the forest as far as they can see too. But what good are you doing? You're just destroying the land. You're going to waste it. He said, there's no reason for that. And some of the trees are fruit-bearing trees, and you could at least eat from that. So he says, there's no need to destroy God's creation just because you're on a rampage destroying things. Make sense? Destructive power was not to be overused simply for the purpose of destroying, is what God says. So also something we need to keep in mind. Don't you think? Destructive power. We have it. I suppose we could nuke the earth and blow it away. Of course, we'd hurt ourselves in the long run. And that's what some people are wanting. Think about everything that we've seen. The Lord your God is with you. He loves you. Many times a battle is inevitable. Always seek peace first. But when the aggressors come, you've got to deal with it, he says. Check your own heart, because the battle is here. And when you start to see the enemy, he says, check your own heart. If you're going into the battle, you need to go into the battle wholeheartedly. Fight the good fight, he says to that young pastor. Fight this fight of faith. And then finally, as Paul's dying, he says, I have fought a good fight. He's ready to die. Paul fought hard his entire ministry, didn't he? We all need to pray about these issues, because the truth is, whether you ever see war close up, you're in a spiritual battle right now. The battle is raging. This is a spiritual battle, and the enemy isn't who you think it is. The enemy doesn't wear a turban or a weird beard, or the enemy doesn't have nuclear supplies. The enemy is the devil. And so we remember the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. To the pulling down strongholds. They're spiritual, to the pulling down strongholds. You remember that, don't you? Now is the time for you and I to draw near to the Lord. In the days that are coming ahead, you see that Israel is so upset with us that they made the statement today, we stand alone and we will fight terrorism alone. You see that a plane was shot down over Russia. Russia is convinced it was a terrorist act. There were bullet holes. They're trying to figure out if they came from inside or from outside.
Ukraine says we had nothing to do with it, therefore Russia says it's a terrorist act. Israel says it's a terrorist act. All over the globe, India and Pakistan are just about to go to fisticuffs over the bombing from a few days ago, the suicide bombing. India made a statement, we will not tolerate anymore. That's it. So they're expecting an attack upon Pakistan, which is where we may have some troops. And it's, you can understand here that what's going on is the entire world's just getting ready to blow up. Somebody's going to get up on the wrong side of the bed one of these mornings. And I think that we need to be prepared. And the way to be prepared for something like this is to draw near to the Lord. The Bible says you draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. We're going to share communion together now. And so as we bow our heads, when you get that bread and that cup, you take the bread when you're ready in your own heart. You take the cup when you're ready. Seek the Lord. Ask the Lord to search your heart. We should all do that. Where is my heart in this day where this we realize is a battle? Where is my heart? It's nothing wrong with being engaged. It's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with having a house or a vineyard. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. Just we need to understand where our hearts are. And we don't know our own hearts, the Bible says. So seek the Lord. As you get the bread, take it when you're ready. Take the cup when you're ready. Let's bow our heads.